thank you, Lord God, of your presence. We thank you of your truth. We thank you for the blessing that we get to read your words. We thank you, Lord God, of your Holy Spirit working in each one of us, directing our path, teaching us, revealing your truth to us, renewing our mind, even when it's challenging, and give us freedom. We glorify your name. We all give all honor to you of your words, Lord God, and give honor to you of what you're doing in each one of our lives. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, Renee did a most amazing teaching. It was like on fire. It set a fire in my heart anyway. It's almost like when Gene came over from America and gave us a word, he gave us something. And Kyle came and Kyle gave us something. And then when Renee preached from that, it just felt like God used her to lit a fire with the power of corporate worship. And God gave me a word to preach today on the word of hope. But I just felt that God was speaking to us as a church together, that there's a power when we believe in God for hope. There's a power as a church together that we carry God's hope, not just for ourselves, but actually for our environment, for our town, for wherever we are. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant's promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. And we sang the song, and Geraldine was teaching us and explaining all the words, the blessed assurance that we have. And that's what we have through Christ, through the blood of Christ. And we were brought back. But before that, the word is said is we were without God and without hope. And that is the reality for people who do not know God. They have no God. They have no hope. But for us, we have God and we have hope. It doesn't matter what situation and challenging situation we face, or when we're finding it, we're in a very difficult situation. Quite often, the situation, we change our mind. We actually feel that oppression. And we could feel that there's no hope. But when we're actually holding on to the truth, it actually say, we have God and we have hope. So not only do we have that with each other, but as a corporately, we became the hope of this town as we're praying for this town. Before there was a church here, God might put in somebody else in other churches or other area, praying for Dungarvan. I remember talking with different ministers or different missionaries. They will sometimes they will say to us, "Oh, we've been praying for Dungarvan for years and years," and then we say, "Wow, we didn't know that." And there are people that will come past, or they used to come on holiday. And they will say, "We've been praying for this town for years and years and years. This town has no church until Dungarvan Christian Fellowship Church." Well, actually they had, but it will last for a little while and then it will completely die. And you think that, well, nothing happened. But each one of those have seeds have been sown. So this now as a church, this is what God put in this town. It's like we are the seeds that God had put in, and we're growing, and we are the hope that God has put in this town to speak His truth, to speak His hope, to speak His message, to be His love. And as we study the word in the Bible, there's so many verses about hope. One of those things is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of this is love. But it doesn't mean it's not important with the hope and faith. And we are the love, and we are the hope, we are the faith. And we, as we believe God for this town, as we declare what God is doing in this town. And hope, when we actually understand it, as a word is, as I was doing study, is a joyful expectation. It's like you have a confidence. So like the blessed assurance, we know that it's something that you're sure of. It's going to happen. You don't have it yet. If you have it, it's not something you already, you won't be saying, I will hope to have it. If you already have it. But when you don't have it, if you don't have that expectation, expecting it's going to happen, that means that you just don't have it and you still don't have hope. So there's a sense of how we, there's a sense of expecting something good is going to happen. If we don't have that expecting of the good, it just means that when you don't have it, you feel hopeless. You feel despair. You feel that everything is impossible. You might even feel defeated. So a situation in our lives in the past, we might feel like there's just no hope in this now. So, or we will feel defeated about it and we just feel in despair. Until God said to you, no, I'm working on this. There is hope yet. Or somebody give you a prophetic word and then your hope rises up. So hope is something that we look forward to. We don't have it yet. As Hebrew 11:1 said, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for, in another translation said. And it is the evidence of things we cannot see. So faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. As I was studying it, if you're thinking about as a believer, or even as we read through the Bibles, all the promises that God made from the beginning of the Bible to the end, we're all waiting for something. It's like, as believers, that's our job. Abraham, God gave Abraham a promise. He has to wait for it. God said, I'm going to make you a father of nations. And at that time, he didn't even have a child yet. So he has to wait. Same as for Jacob. Same as for King David. He was anointed as king, but it took years before he was actually sitting on the throne as a king. And the people of Israel was waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting and waiting and waiting. So us as believers, we're waiting too. We're waiting Jesus come back. Hallelujah. And he promised he'll come back. And as we are waiting, there are so many situation in our own lives, as we even get prophetic words, we are waiting for those to happen too. Or God's promises. Or as we read the word, God said, I'm here with you. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to use you for this and that. And we're waiting for that to happen. And a lot of the time is the waiting time when we're hopeful, waiting for it, expecting it. Is what is our heart condition like, or our attitude? Sometimes we could actually go into despair, say, how long do we have to wait? We've been waiting forever. And we might try to, we might lose hope, or we might try to make things happen in our own way, or we might try to think, okay, I'm going to help God along. He's moving way too slow. Now we have, The passage I'm going to look into is actually Joseph's life. I preached this before, but that would be years ago. But somehow God wanted me to do this again. Joseph, he had two dreams when he was 19. The dreams were amazing dreams. But we, as we read through the Bible verses, we knew that it took years from the time he had the dreams to actually for the dreams to become true. And all of those years, most of it was the most difficult, difficult situation for him. His brothers were jealous of him. And they end up not, they wanted to kill him, but they decided they won't kill him. And he was sold off into a slave in Egypt. And in Egypt, he was doing well. He was serving well. Potiphar really liked him, gave him a lot of apparent authority in his home. But then he didn't want to do something that was evil in God's eyes. So from that, he ended up going to prison. You'll think that I was doing something great. I didn't want to do it because it was wrong in God's eyes. But instead of being rewarded for that, he ended up in the prison. And when he was in prison, he was in there for a few years. And then there was the Pharaoh's wine bearer and a baker. They had dreams. And he'd interpret their dreams. 3 days later, one of the dreams came true. One of them lost his life, but the other one was released. He probably thinking, their dreams only take 3 days. My dreams, I had my dreams years and years and years and years ago. When is that going to happen? And then he said that to the wine bearer, when you get out, remember me. He's probably thinking, maybe this time I could get out for sure. Each of those steps, maybe he was thinking of, maybe today is the day I could get out. Maybe if I do a good job, I could get out. Maybe if I don't sin before God, I could get out. Maybe, maybe each day. And each day it became another day, became another day. But it wasn't until Pharaoh had his dreams and that needed somebody to interpret the dreams that the wine bearer actually remembered Joseph. And that's when Joseph came out of prison. But a lot of the time when we read those words, it's a few chapters and we're thinking of like, we read through it like a stories. But imagine if we actually have to live through it. How would we feel? Will we be in despair? Or will we actually be able to be every day on fire? Yes, today is the day God is going to take me out of this place. Or will we just kind of like, I don't know when. I don't know when. But there are two things that are very important. First, when he went to Potiphar's house, in chapter 39 in Genesis, verse 2, it said the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Even Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph. It wasn't just Joseph know it, but Potiphar know it too. And then, even though he went to prison, but the verse in 21 said, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And then it carried on down first. It also said the Lord was with Joseph and caused everything he did to succeed. Throughout all those years, the Lord was with Joseph. I wonder sometimes if we are going through hard time, when we actually, the environment became such a powerful thing, we could actually end up feeling where is God? God is not here with me. If God is here with me, I wouldn't be going through all this junk. If God is with me and he loves me, why would I be in this place? We might even feel angry at God, because the reason he was in prison was because he said, how could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. He refused to do what is wrong, and he ended up in prison. So can he even be angry at God? If God loves me, why am I in this place? If God is for me, why am I in this place? And we can actually take on a place, our environment, as a proof that say God is not real, God doesn't love me. Or we can actually say, Lord, I'm in this place now. It doesn't matter, but I know you're with me. We can press in and say, Lord, where are you? I know you're with me. My environment does not determine if you love me or if you're with me or not. When we're in the deepest, darkest place, can we actually come and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but you still love me. I know it. And as believers in a vision, they say, we have God and we have hope. Our hope sometimes is not a proof of when everything is going well. Sometimes our hope and our knowing God is with us, it could be in the deepest and the darkest and the most difficult situation. And that's when we actually be able to say, Lord, you are with me in this. I know you are. No matter how difficult it is, I know you are with me. Your love to me is not determined by how pleasant everything is. Even if it is difficult, I can still say, Lord, you are with me. In the most difficult time, Joseph learned a few things. What did he learn? Instead of only knowing his own earthly father's, Jacob's love, Jacob loved Joseph more than all his other sons. So Joseph, instead of knowing only his earthly father's love and his favor, he get to discover God is with him in the darkest time in his life. That God is for him, even if it's difficult. That God's love is his, almost like his blanket that cover him when he's in prison. And also in that time, God was developing in him a character. Sometimes we don't like those verses when we have to get our character developed in those difficult times. In Romans, chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they helped us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointments, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. In the midst of Joseph's struggle, he developed characters. It's difficult to serve well when we are when we have serious attitude. I can just imagine Joseph being sold as slave. He could be five saying, "You have no idea who I am. I am the favorite sons of my father Jacob. Do you know how many sheep we have and how rich, how powerful he is? His servant will come and chase after you. He's going to rescue me. Just you wait. You want me to do those jobs as a slave? Are you kidding me? I'm not a slave. I'm a favorite son of my father. You've even given me this multicolored robe. In their culture, those color represents somebody important. That's why his brothers were so jealous of him. He could have had those attitudes. I probably would if somebody kidnapped me and sold me as a slave. You want me to clean the toilet? Get out of the way. He could have been whipped. He'd been whipped and beaten. And I've seen a lot of them historical, you know, clips. That's how they beat them into submission. A submission that you've beaten into them, they lost their spirit. They end up serving and just doing because out of fear. But I don't believe Joseph served out of that condition if he was doing such a good job so quickly. He would have been just served because he could. What was his attitude like? What was God developing in him? Did he just say, maybe he was thinking, if I do well, I could buy myself out, I could go home. I don't know. It just said that he did a very good job. And he refused to sin, even in the midst of his time there. If he was having attitude problem, he might be thinking of like, nobody knows, nobody cares, I can do what I like. But he refused to live below the standard of who he is. And then he end up in a prison, and he still served well. The prison guards trusted him. God was with him. Sometimes when we're in an attitude problem, when we think we don't deserve to be treated that way, and it affects everybody else around us, not just for the people who treated us wrong, but for the other people around us too. But Joseph did not let that affect him. And in that season, his relationship with God deepened. One of the songs Geraldine was singing about, the last one, Jesus, have your place. Jesus' name, the only name. Maybe Joseph already given up hope of his own father, Jacob, to rescue him. We don't know. Did he give up hope on God to rescue him? I don't believe so. We can be in whatever situation, we can still say, God, you're with me. You're with me, and you're with me through this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You set a table before me in the presence of my enemy. My cup overflow. We can be in the midst of our enemies. We can be in the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. We can still say, my God is with me. And the word of God said, the Lord was with him. He could have harbor all the bitterness and the anger while he was in prison. Not just for his brothers, but it could be for Potiphar and his wife too. But out of this, he understands the power of forgiveness. It's not easy to forgive such evil, evil things that has been done to him. But to be able to actually learn what does forgiveness really mean. His forgiving heart actually became the hope to his family. His family was dying of starvation. They have no food. His forgiveness became the key to his family's hope. That's powerful. But it also, one of the things that is, it's not just about him believing in God. It's almost like God believed in Joseph. He was the one that God chosen to go ahead into this land to be the one to be the key that brought food to his family. Back in Abraham's time, when God was given Abraham his promise, it actually in chapter 15, the Lord actually said to Abram, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end they will come away with great wealth." I don't know why it has to be in Egypt or in slaveries where God actually made Jacob's sons became a nation. Why not somewhere else? Why not somewhere without the suffering? But that was God's plan. God said that to Abram back in those days. Before even Isaac was born. Before Jacob was born. Before Joseph was born. And God already said that. You guys will be in Egypt. You'll be slaves for 400 years. And the first one that went was Joseph. I don't know why. We don't always understand why the suffering will produce such a nation. But I know that a lot of the time the suffering in itself produces of us holding on to the one thing that we have, God. When we actually have stripped off of everything else around in our lives, we can still say, you know what? I still have God. If nothing else, I have God. God is with me in this. God is with me every day, every step of the way. So as a church living in a land, we became the voice of hope where people have no hope and no God. We have God and we have hope. And sometimes we might not really know what that hope like. And we might not really know what God is like until we're actually going through the hard time. And those times that it became our story. It became our message. God was with us. So as we are a church, the people might not be reading the Bible outside, but they will read us. How we live our lives became the message for other people. When we're going through a hard time, people will say, how can you still have so much hope? When people see us going through a difficult time, they will say, what is it that you have? I think I want some of that. I know when Steve lost his job, I have some of the the boys were still in primary school, some of the parents would say, how come you guys are still, you guys are different? What is it that you have? You don't seem stressed about it at all. That's the message. Living it out. Our hope is not in a job. It's lovely to have a job. I remember before he lost the job, there was, you know, that crash came down in America, and then the ripple effect came to Ireland and started people talking about, it's almost like so much fear in the nation. And I remember saying, yeah, we still have a job. As long as Steve has a job, we're okay. And after a while, I just felt Holy Spirit say, you have to stop saying that. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll stop saying that. The revelation is, I can't actually just keep saying, as long as he has a job, we're okay. It should be, as long as we have God, we are okay. So by the time he actually came home and say, okay, got the dates, they're shutting the quarry. And I was thinking, I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't like it, but you prepare my heart for it. So there I go. As long as we have God, we are okay. And that was the words I've been saying for a few months already. God already had birthed that seed in my heart, in my soul. So when he actually came home with the date that I closed in the quarry, I can say, as long as we have God, we're okay. And that's the things God prepare us. The Holy Spirit in us, he will remind us he's with us. And that's the awesome power of God when we know he's present, when we know he's with us. It's not necessarily always mean that everything is sunny, flowers skipping along in the meadows and the woods, and everything is happy. But sometime when we're going through time, the season when it's difficult, that's when you say, wow, God, that was awesome. You were with us. Everything else doesn't matter. Everything else pale comparisons. Knowing God's presence in the middle of the difficult situation. And we can be that story for somebody else. We can be that message for somebody else. So as we are a people of God's people, his children, we can be intentional with our words, with our actions, with our attitude. There are times when, I remember when we first moved to the town, the bank manager was trying to say, there's some law that you have to pay first-time buyer fees or something like that. And the law is, if this is your first-time buyer house. But we said, we had a house in England. And the bank manager said, oh, nobody knows that. It's okay. You don't have to pay. It was like 15,000. If we didn't have God, it would be tempted. But when we have God, you say, I can't do that. We can't do that. God knows. Even if nobody cares, God still knows. But the temptation for the people to sin, but when they see us wouldn't do something, it became a testimony. It became our story. It became say, we can't do something that is wrong. Because God knows. All of those are testimonies. And all of those are stories. How do we live our lives? So became intentional with our words, in our mindsets, with our focus. Sometimes our focus is so much on the difficulties we're facing, we are in. And that became like our blanket of covering, became our right to feel angry, became our right to feel the unfairness, the injustice of it. And that became our message. Or we could let go of that. And say, we have God. What is God doing in us in this time, in this season? What is the character that he's developing in us? What's the mindset that he's producing in us that we still have hope? Instead of being in a hopeless situation and keep on pronouncing and speaking out the hopeless situation as our identity. That became almost like an overcoat Or we could say, yes, we might be in a hopeless situation, but we are not hopeless because God is my hope. I'm not going to be in this forever. This is just for this season while God is taking me out of it. We don't know how long it takes, but God is my hope each new day. And that is the renewing of our mind. Instead of letting the environment be the one that speaks to us of what is happening to our lives. Instead of letting the environment, the enemy keeps saying, yeah, God is not with you. Everything is so difficult. Everything is so hard. And then we keep speaking those words out. Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. It's so hard. Or we could speak life. We could speak words of life. God is with me. God is going through this with me. He said he will never leave me or forsake me. He said that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. He said that I can trust in him, trust in the Lord in all our hearts, and lean not in our own understanding. I could hold on to his promises. I can say that God is with us. And as a church, we became that message for our environment, for the people around us. In our attitude, in our mindset, in our focus, in our viewpoints, in our outlook, in our words, everything changed when we actually clothe ourselves with Christ, of who he say we are. We're children of God, and not be determined by our situation. And that is powerful. That's powerful for all of us to live in that, and it's powerful as a corporate body. Remember, there was a time when we first started the church in this town, people used to say we're a cult, and they would say those words. So people in the church were saying, yeah, that's what people say, we're a cult. And we're struggling, and we say, but we're not a cult. And we keep saying those words. And remember, Steve was saying, we have to stop saying that. We have to say that we are church, we're God's church. We're real with God, we're real with people, and we're real with each other. We're God's people, we're God's church. As we start declaring who we are, and that's what we heard from people outside, started saying, you guys are real. What we declare, what we say, became the truth, because we're declaring God's truth of who we are. So it's the same as when we're in struggling situation. The more we speak those words that bring death, the more we feel that, the more we feel stuck in it, the more that became our identity. But the more we speak God's truth, we are children of God. God is with us. God is building his church. God is establishing us. God is with me in my situation. That became birthed out from that, the words of God's truth. So if there's anything in your situation, in your life, God might be speaking to you of words that you say, that's not from God. It's from the enemy. We need to repent of that. Sometimes we might be taking on words that we really actually carry more death and despair. And God, we want to say, I want you to start speaking life and life abundance. Life that actually will birth forth what God is doing. And that we will turn our eyes away from our situation and use that as our almost like a cloth, and just thinking of like, this is my lot, this is it, and actually take that off and say, I'm going to clothe in who God say I am as a child of God, and that's my circumstances. My circumstances is God is with me. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 23. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might? That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and about every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Those are powerful words of prayers. To know God's hope and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. We all have that. How powerful is that when we actually use those words for ourselves and declare those words into this town and declare those words as a body of Christ intentionally. Watch our words, how we speak about things. Instead of curse, we're speaking blessing. Sometimes we speak those words over ourselves and became a curse for ourselves. I will never get out of here. I will never be able to do this. I will never be able to do that. And we keep speaking that over and over again, almost like a vow and a curse. And God said, repent, turn around and start speaking life and life abundance. And that is the promises that we have as saints, and we carry that. And there's power in our words. So let us pray. Lord God, we thank you so much of your truth. We thank you, Lord God, that you made us powerful. You made our words powerful to speak forth life and life abundance. So give us new vocabulary, Lord God, to speak forth what it is that you're doing in our own lives as well as in this community. Give us words to speak life and life abundance and to see the growth, to see birth of new life, to see salvations in this town, even for our governments. Lord God, when we're watching the news, when they're reporting all of those horrible things of what is happening, instead of speaking death, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you give us new words to declare what you are doing in the governments. We praise you, we glorify your name, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are always at work within each one of us and that we carry your truth and we are powerful in your kingdom. We glorify your name. Renew our mind, Lord God. As we read the Bible each day, give us new words to hold on to. Give us new words to declare. Give us new words to speak. We glorify your name, and the words today is, we have God and we have hope. Let that be the vocabulary that we speak today, Lord God. We praise you of the power of your words that we don't even understand. But Lord God, let us walk with you and to see the power of the words that we carry to speak forth of what you are doing, Lord God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.